whoever speaks into the mic, you have to get close. My name is Cherokee Isles, and as some of you may know, I am running for the board to represent you, whether you love me or don't. Okay, I still want to represent you. And this is David Siegel, who is also running for the board, and we support each other. So if you have questions for either of us during this event, we welcome that. Our main star is someone we met 2 weeks ago, Kurt Eggerston, and we'll be introducing him in a minute. I am going to take a risk and speak about something that I think needs to be on the table. One of the reasons that I am running, one of the main reasons I am running is because people from all perspectives asked me to run because they know I'm a bridge builder and a unifier, and that I speak in a calm way, and I try to listen to everyone, and I don't judge people. I try really hard not to judge people, even if you don't appreciate my personality or you've said something negative to me or whatever. It's okay. We're a community, we're a family of sorts. And so the unifying part is the real reason I'm running for the board, in hopes that I can bring some calm, less discord, try to fix some of the things for the people that are upset about things, because they're legit. Most of those things are legit. So when we fix things, we get more satisfaction and less discord. And I know that David shares that philosophy. But then, of course, I became aware of the finances, and David and Deb 2 weeks ago, was that only 2 weeks ago, did a packed house meeting putting forward Randy's numbers. And then I helped facilitate conversations with Jim Cherry, so that we had, I don't want to say sides, I want to say perspectives, so that we had communication and could try to get on the same page. And then things weren't as good as they might have been, so then I put Kurt and Jim Cherry together and myself so that I could learn more. And I realized that finances are important for us to talk about. But I have a question. How many of you have been to some of our meetings over the past 6 weeks? Could I raise, you see the hands? Okay. How many of you who've been here would say that there was conflict and anger and disruption and harassment and such things as that during our meetings?
No.
That there was that going on during our meetings?
No.
A little bit last week? Yes. But any of the meetings. How many of you would say that the tone and the purpose of these meetings, which is what my intention was, and if I've done something different, I want to hear it, is to bring people together, to talk, to be respectful, to unify, to let all voices be heard, to introduce other candidates, to be collegial. How many of you feel that that's been happening? Okay, thank you. I want to read something to you. I believe that David and I'm speaking for you, and you can say more after I'm done if you want, David, have a genuine heart to help things calm down and to bring transparency and representation of you to the table. And this is what I was given today that I want to read to you. Understanding the current level of discord in SCOV, I'm not going to read it all. To say there is discord is an understatement. It's too mild a description. It's more like out-and-out conflict. On one side is a very vocal minority of approximately 100 residents. I guess maybe that's all of you, I don't know. With 20 or 30 being very active. On the other side is the majority of homeowners who don't understand why there is so much conflict. Caught in the middle are the board, the general manager, and the staff. The local minority would rather we spend little or do little to improve Sun City. Have you been at our meetings where we're at, we list things that could be improved, and we're offering suggestions, and we are sending positive letters, and we, have you been to those meetings?
Yes.
The local minority, they say that we should stop spending money because they believe we have no money. Have we ever said there is no money? Absolutely not. They falsely claim that an assessment is inevitable because of financial mismanagement. Have you ever heard the words mismanagement?
No.
No. And did we say that there's going to be an assessment?
No.
If certain things happen and you want Copper Health kept and you want renovations, there is the question that came up 2 weeks ago, how will you pay for it? And the ways to pay for it were homeowner dues, assessments, or some kind of creative fundraising. The vocal minority has been on the losing end of repeated votes and many issues and board elections, now want to seize power through stacking the board of directors and via petition. David, do you want to seize power?
I would like to improve things.
Thank you. If they gain board control, they can select the chairs of each committee and many committee members. This is frightening. The president of the board selects the chairs, and the chairs select who's on the committees. And what I have been saying, and we have been saying, is maybe we can add more help to the committees by learning more about what our members have as expertise and offer more help. I'm sorry that that's threatening to people. The conflict arises from the means and method the vocal minority used to get their voices heard. It starts from a position of confrontation instead of collaboration. This might be the most confrontational thing I've done, asking you for your opinions. Have we been talking about collaboration?
Yes.
Absolutely, that is the essence of what we've been begging for and talking about and doing over these last 6 to 8 weeks. Their approach is to disrupt meetings. Have you seen any of your fellow citizens disrupting meetings? I mean, there was a little bit of that last week. There was a little bit, but it kind of didn't come from most of, well, I'll leave it at that. Putting forth misleading information. If we have any misleading information, let's talk about it. That's why I arranged meetings with Jim Cherry, so that we get the truth on the table and unsubstantiated claims and harass people with little regard to listening and understanding. Those of you who've been at these meetings before, did you feel there was understanding and listening going on? Raise your hands if you did. That was the purpose of it. Their perspective is not shared by the majority of homeowners. Instead of being a part of the community, they want to control the community with their perspective. If the vocal minority would tone down the rhetoric and unsubstantiated allegations, then civil conversations and exchanges could take place. I just have to say, where is the rhetoric? I'm reading from a piece of paper that's going out with the other two candidates coming in with their meetings and such. I don't know if this came from Crew or what, but it's being passed out along with the handouts about the other two candidates. And so I just want to say, do you want peace or do you want war? If you don't like this kind of rhetoric and this sort of accusations, may I beg you to let people know that? Because we have worked so hard at being calm and peaceful and kind and humane and just wanting to put facts on the table. And if those facts are wrong, then we fix those facts because you deserve the truth. So I just had to say it. Yes, dear.
Well, Shirley, I appreciate what you're doing, but you can't assume that everybody in this room have been to any other meeting.
No, I'm not assuming, yes.
And what attracted me to this, because I heard Kurt before, I want to be armed with the facts that he is a mask, so that when questions of what we are talking about in terms of finances, we are prepared to answer in a factual way.
And
so
that,
I would like us to get to
and
that.
And that's where we're going. Thank you so much. And I am not assuming anything about you. What I'm asking you to do is to judge the people by the people and what you see and how we interact with each other. And I want to now introduce Kurt, but yes, you have something? Start with the facts, not the advertising or the commercial. And so we absolutely will. But I just feel like I needed to say to you that it hurts my heart when I'm trying to be a unifier to be called something else. So I'm just putting that on the table. Let's just all do our part, whatever that is. And again, whoever you feel you support or whatever you're, you know, wherever you are. So with that, what I want you to know, okay, David wants to say something, is that Kurt was sitting in the front row 2 weeks ago when the numbers were put up, and he can share with you what he said, and then he's been a part of trying to get us to the bottom, to your point, of what are the facts about the numbers. And to be clear, when it was done 2 weeks ago, was not meant to do any fear-based anything or to scare people, but really to say, don't we all want to know what the real situation is? And so this is an opportunity to have an unbiased person, he can tell you about himself and his background, sharing with you. And once your presentation is over, Kurt, or during it, do you want questions?
Anytime I may ask people a question.
All right. Sounds good. So David, thank you, and then we'll pass it on to Kurt.
Thank you. I want to get to the finances. I only talk just for a few seconds. You know, what Cherokee read is very distressing because it's basically an attack on our candidacy. And when I give coffees, when I talk to people, I don't talk down my opponents, you know, and it just has no place here. And it seems to me there are sound bites. It's just labeling so that people are not thinking about substance. And that's what we want to get to here. You know, 2 weeks ago when I gave my financial presentation, I came to conclusions. And I said, we don't have enough cash to back up our asset reserve, to back up our funds. And I was attacked after that. It was very difficult for me personally to start to read what was being said and to listen to what other people were saying that others were disagreed with saying about me. But I persevered, and again, I just want to reiterate that Kurt, 2 weeks ago, was unknown to Cherokee and to me. And he's a true professional in finance with 36 years of experience. I urge you to listen to him. He's unbiased, and I think he supports what our conclusions were 2 weeks ago. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Kurt. Thank you.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. So. Thanks. I'm amazed. This is quite an audience, and I'm very happy that the thermostat, I think, has been set down to 60 or something like that. So there's hope on the way, okay? I'm already getting a little flustered here. So I won't spend any time actually going. So I'm going to be looking at my presentation down here on the computer, and you guys can see it there, okay? But I will, so I'll be kind of looking down at it to know, so I know where I'm at, okay? What I'll start out with is kind of the agenda today, and really what I wanted, and it's really true everything about that. I mean, I got roped into this 2 weeks ago, and the people that roped me into it know who they are, somewhere right over this way. As getting roped into it, willingly or unwillingly, I'm happy to do this and kind of put this together because I think it's just a really good perspective. I also had to miss a golf game today, so and that can be verified right over here. So to get this ready and kind of presentable in a hopefully a quick fashion, okay? So what I want to do is I want to talk about cash, the funds, cash and cash flow really, right? But the funds,
The asset reserve fund, the asset reserve study, cash and cash flow forecast, conclusions, recommendations, okay? You can see that. And really what I'm trying to do is, there's a lot of discussion, I think, about how much is enough money, right? And when we hear we have $8 million and that kind of stuff, you go, well, that's a lot of money, right? Any one of us would all say, that's a lot of money, right? And so what's a lot of money relative to? And so that's what I'm gonna be trying to do.
Kurt, can you review your qualifications, your work history again? I mean, we've read it, maybe everybody has, but
oh, okay,
it'd
sure.
be really good to know what your history is again.
Sure, if I can remember, I will. So, what was it? I was not gonna go into that, but I've been in banking for commercial bank for 36 years, working on commercial businesses. So I spent 36 years looking at the financials of businesses, how they cash flow, right? That's what banks lend money against, is cash flow. And so I'm very interested in focused on cash. Accrual accounting, which is what we get from our management team, which is fine. The numbers are not wrong. They just are hard to follow. And accrual accounting is fully acceptable. What we get is fully acceptable kind of from an accounting standpoint, but it doesn't get down to cash flow. Okay, so really what I'm trying to do is get to cash and cash flow. And so I've done that for 36 years in business. My background educationally was I got an undergraduate degree in metro urban studies. What? And then I went on and got a master's degree in accounting and finance at Thunderbird in Phoenix 37 years ago. but accounting hasn't changed that much. All right, so is that helpful?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So I pretty much know how to look at cash and cash flow, I think, right? All right, so we've all heard about the cash balances. We saw in a newsletter there was $8 million. I disagree with how we get to that number, I think, because I've heard people talking about that number, and they like to include accounts receivable and inventory and things like that, and those are not cash. They convert to cash, but as soon as they convert to cash, you have to buy more of it. More inventory, or you set up another receivable, right? So it's not. It's a number that really never changes, and so it's not cash, right? It doesn't pay bills like cash pays bills. All right, where is it? So we've got this, I think we've got about, as of November, a $7.5 million rounded cash balance, okay? Where is it located? How do we think about it? Is it enough? How do we know? All right, cash balance. So we keep money in three different banks, essentially, and I could be wrong, I could be off by one, but I'm aware of three banks that we keep money at. One's a community bank, one's UBS, and one is BMO. So UBS would be Union Bank of Switzerland, and BMO would be Bank of Montreal. those are the acronyms for those banks, going way back, like 36 years ago. So we keep money in those banks, and some of it's earning interest in certificates of deposit, some of it's just in checking accounts, okay? So we're trying to earn money on that, that's good. Cash balance, again, same number, right? How do we think to talk about it? We think to talk about it as a pile of cash that's available to spend, right? We hear we got a lot of money, right? It's plenty of money, and it's, you know, it's so much money to be almost obscene, right, when we think about money. But it's really, you know, this money, although it's in these accounts at banks, it's really accounted for as being in several funds. And so I'm gonna leave you everyone down the road to the funds, okay? Our funds are accounted for, okay? They're not actually funded. They don't have cash in them, per se. It's an accounting entry, all right? So when you look at it, we have these four specific funds today. We have the asset reserve fund. What's that for? That's for repair, replacement, maintaining existing facilities. Okay, that's what that's for. We have a lot of facilities, and we have a lot of expected expenses around that. The capital fund, buying new stuff, okay, like the copper center. That would have been a new thing, right? So we spent money out of the capital fund. In fact, we spent more money than we had in the capital fund. So we overspent our cash account, if it was a cash account. So think, I'm gonna be talking about this stuff like it's your checking account, okay, and savings accounts. That's the perspective that I'm taking, all right? All right, so our wash fund, I think that, I'm not even sure about these, are smaller balances, but the wash fund, I think, is for maintaining the washes, like Chop Creek Wash, or that kind of stuff, right? And then we have a contingency fund for the unexpected, and the unexpected would include things like, you know, I don't know, I understand we just had to replace a pump on the golf course for like $300,000, right? That was not planned for, not expected, boom, had to do it, had to replace it. So I don't know, I'm presuming that that's where that got funded out of, as that account. That account would then probably be about zero at this point, okay? But I don't know, and I haven't looked into it yet. All right. About these accounts, okay? I like to think about it as, I think we should be talking about these as separate accounts, okay? Arizona law allows us, because of our designation as a 501(c)(4), right? Is it right there, right? We can commingle our cash, our funds, okay? We can commingle it. We can put it in, we can keep it in one or more accounts, but we don't have to segregate it and put it into the account that it belongs to specifically. We just have to account for it, okay? So like I said, allocate it to the funds. We don't appear to do this well, in my opinion, okay? We have a negative balance in the capital account of 1.9 million or thereabouts, okay? Why do we have that? Because we overspent on Copper Center. Okay, and we like to talk about it, like we lend ourselves money. Well, when you lend yourself money or when you go borrow money, why is that? It's because you don't have the cash right now. That's why you go borrow, right? From a bank, from your cousin, from your uncle, from your neighborhood, okay? That's what we did. We borrowed from the neighborhood. You guys are all lending money to that fund right now, all right? So, the funds, okay, so I'll try to actually look at them up there. The asset reserve fund is the first one. I've got a couple columns with some comments there. The column with the management and the board, this is kind of how it's being presented today, okay, is it's an asset reserve fund of $5.9 million, okay? We have a negative capital fund of $1.9 million, contingency $298,000, wash fund $100,000, and then what's left over, generally speaking, the way that Mike had thought about it is in an operating fund, which we don't technically have an operating fund. I talk about it as though we have an operating fund. That's our checking account, if we all want to think about it. The others are all savings, okay? Think 401k, IRA, that kind of stuff, okay? This one, save it, just straight up savings. The operating fund is really kind of the checking account to pay for everything, like wages, as an example. Okay, of the employees of SCOV. I adjusted, okay, so the adjusted column is my way of looking at it. It's, well, okay, so we borrowed from the capital fund. If that was a checking account or a savings account at a bank, it would be what?
Overdrawn.
Yeah, who said that's right? You're my plans or something. you're the person I want to come up and when I'm doing a magic show, you know. Now, there's no strings here, right? Okay, so... So that would be overdrawn. So I'm just paying for it, right? So I set it to zero in the second column, okay? And I'm paying for it from the asset reserve fund because that's where we kind of talk about that we lent ourselves the money kind of from the asset reserve fund, even though we can't do that. And so that's why we keep the balance at 5.955 million, right? But it's just, it's mixed up, okay? So 4 million in the asset reserve fund, zero capital fund, contingency fund, wash fund, operating fund as shown. The operating fund really has, in my math, if you add up that first column, it doesn't add up, by the way, to the total cash of about $7.5 million because they ignore the $1.9 million that's negative, okay? Just so you know. All right, so, but I end up with $3 million in the operating fund because the math works out, okay? If I set those other accounts, the asset reserve to $4 million, zero, and the other numbers, I have an operating fund of $3 million. Interestingly, when I run my cash flows and I've handed out and made available to everyone, you've got the monthly, month-to-month cash flows. I'm not going to go to it right now. I'm just saying you have it. You can look at it. But the numbers I'm giving you in summary here work out. That $3 million, that needs to spend that plus revenue that we might get between now and June. So we get some revenue coming in. But that $3 million in cash plus any revenue we get is going to have to cover all the expenses, wages, benefits, all that stuff, plus cost of goods sold and some other stuff. And I'll get to that. But it has to cover that, and that will just cover it between now and the end of June. And it'll have just under a couple $100,000 left in that account. So if that's your checking account, we're running it down to just under $200,000 by the end of the year. I have a question back there.
What happens after June?
Yeah, so, I'll get to that too, right? So in July, we collect a bunch of cash, right? We all know that. I think we all know that. We collect a whole shit ton, pardon me, of cash. I should have said ton, I know. But we get a lot of cash, right? But that cash has to be allocated when we get it. And I'm going to tell you that we should be, we need about $5 to $5.5 million at the start of the year to get through the end of the year. And I'll show you that. That's in my numbers. You can see it all. It's all in there. Yeah, so in my opinion, the SOB board needs to indicate or, you know, move to separate bank accounts so that we can actually monitor this stuff, right? Money has to actually exist in the account, and, you know, we can't be overdrawn, okay? I would call it the operating fund. I kind of said that already. Okay, the funds, the asset reserve fund. So, you know, we should know how much we're supposed to have, okay? And we've heard, oh, so I've had conversations with other people that are looking at numbers, and I've been told, oh, I'm comfortable with $4.5 million at the end of June of 2024. I'm comfortable. We'll have like $4.5 million in cash. I'm comfortable. That's before we collect all the new money. There's definitely new money coming in July, right? Guess who from? All of you guys. Yeah. My speaking engagement, I don't have to pay that now. No. Not true. Okay, so the asset reserve fund, in my opinion, is the cornerstone fund. Okay, it's the fund, it's the cornerstone, it's what pays for all the stuff that can go wrong or need repair and that kind of stuff, right? You've all seen people buy a brand new car, right? And you wonder, how are they going to possibly replace the tires, right? Because they peel out or something, right? And it's like, do they know what tires cost, right? I mean, they're burning rubber. It's like, you know, or how are they going to possibly, because you know, you might know their income. We need to have enough cash and cash flow to be able to replace monies into this asset reserve fund, okay? So it's so important, my last bullet point there, that we hire a consultant to estimate how much money we need. All right. The most recent reserve study done in 2021 recommends $7.942 million June of this year. Okay, you might...
Tell people what a reserve study is. Explain what a reserve study is.
Oh, okay, sure. A reserve... okay, so I'm adjusting. A reserve study, it looks at all the assets that we own. The buildings, the roofs, the siding, other assets that are within the building. And it estimates their useful life. They look at it and they say, well, this will be need to replace probably in 3 years, and here's what the cost is, okay? The reserve study is posted on the website. You can go into financials, and you go down to the bottom, it says reserve study, and you can look through it. It is the longest thing you've ever seen. Every asset is listed on there, right? There's stuff you didn't even know we had that's in that list. It's 20 pages long, and it goes through every line item, says how much it's going to cost and when it needs to be replaced, okay? Thank you. Is that okay? I pass. And what does it say? And it goes forward. It rolls forward 30 years, right? And so it says what we need to contribute to the fund. So you all have this thing that, if you took the one piece of paper that says Sun City Oro Valley at the top, okay, it's just a one pager. And all by itself, not stapled anything else. I kind of circled how that study works, but if you look at that study, what it shows you is that we should be contributing to that asset reserve fund about $1.5 million a year, $1.2 to $1.3 million needs to be spent each year. And that's from this year ending in June through June of 27, okay? And it rolls forward after that. And the balance grows, right? In the future, in 10 years, that balance is scheduled to be $13 million. All right, so this number right up here on the screen, 7.942, is what we have in June. Well, that's more money than what that's about, or more money, depending on who you talk to. Some people say we have $8 million of cash today. Some people say that we have seven and a half. So I'm saying that's more money than what we have in our checking today, and we still got to pay for stuff between now and June. All right. The study is always based, I mean, if you look, you can look at how this is only a snippet off of a page, okay? Here. You got it?
24, right?
What's that?
That page that you're talking about?
No, this page is, it's just a separate one pager here. There's one, you can take that one. I'm going to show it up on the screen too, but that's it right there. It's the asset study, and it just shows that we have to contribute $1.5 million a year is what we, in discussions with this person that did the study, there are professionals out there that do that, they're like a financial advisor, right? They're telling us, here's how much cash we need, and it's kind of like, if you want to retire, how much cash do you have to retire, right? So there, but this is about replacing stuff in the buildings and all that. Yes, sir?
Is that beginning balance based on actual cash on hand, or you said
the treasurer or somebody who's moving cash around from fund to funds as needed.
Yeah, so.
Did you repeat the question?
I have my ears in today, so I can hear them. So, so I think your question is, how did I get to, what, 3 million? You're looking at something.
No, I'm looking at the beginning balance.
Yeah.
Is that the actual cash on hand, or is that?
No, the actual, so are you looking at the forecast month by month by month?
No.
Which one are you looking at? That's what it was forecasted to be. So it shows like our fund balance. That's what they were forecasting when they talked with the study guy, right? Whoever ran the study, they said, well, we expect to have, if we contribute $1.5 million a year, we should have about this much in our account, we'll earn this much interest, and then we're gonna have to spend about this much based on that really long schedule of all the assets and when they gotta get replaced.
So you're saying, in fact, they're taking money out of that fund to cover a deficit.
Well, yeah, in my way of looking at it, which is an analytical approach to it and a cash-based approach, they kind of borrowed money out of the asset reserve fund to pay for the capital fund. Does that make sense? Okay, so I think I'll get to a couple other slides that might get closer to answering your question. I'm walking through this kind of slowly and methodically, I think. The study is always based on year end, so I've heard some people say, well, why don't we measure the amount of cash that we have in July against the balance that we're supposed to have according to the study, okay? That study is a moving target, it goes up and up and up and up. And that's just not when they measure it. The study is based on year end. So the study, if you look at that study, if you're looking at that one pager that says SCOV Oro Valley at the top, and it's just one page that was out there, where are they going with that? Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, it ends in June. So if you look at the far right hand column, that's saying this is the recommended total funding that you guys should have in a checking account at the end of June of each of those years. Okay, that's the number that they're saying you should have in checking. Okay.
And what's the number?
Well, the number for this June is 7.942 million. Okay, this is the page I'm talking about. So if you want to orient, it looks like this. This is just a snippet of the top of it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, should you say it's saying that? Is that the group? The consultant?
Consultant.
Okay, yeah. Because don't we have a certain percentage level of funding of the
Yep,
assets?
Getting there. Hold on. Yep. You're following along perfectly. So yeah. So if you look at this, I'm just, so that everyone can see it up there, right? From the left, the third column says contribution. It's about $1.5 million a year. There's the fifth column says interest. That's the interest that we earn off the cash that we invest. That was what was forecast, because this was done in 2021. Important to remember, this is done in 2021, the study. This is the study, okay? Then we have capital expenditures, things that we have to fund and replace. You know, it's an estimate, right? Do we always have to spend that? No, it's an estimate, but it's a good estimate. It's done by a professional, and we don't know. Anybody here know when we have to replace, you know, door hinges or other stuff? I don't know. I don't. But the study guy, that's his business. Okay. All right. And the last column there is 100% of the value that should be funded. And so you can see the third row down on the far right, 7.942. That's where I got that number. And I use the other numbers going forward a few years as well as we move forward. Okay. The most study done in July of 2021, just so everyone's thinking about this, right? That study is telling us we need 7.9 million in June, was done before we bought Copper Center. Right? Copper Center has a roof, it has siding, it has windows, it has all kinds of stuff that might need maintenance, repair, or replacement. So that is before that. It does not factor in any inflation. Anyone know what happened between 2021 and today? Right? A lot of inflation. I think, you know, the story I hear is that deck chairs are, you know, cost $100,000 instead of $18,000. That was estimated in that study. Round numbers, I can't remember. I spend a lot of time, you know, making sure numbers are correct. These are really estimated numbers. This is the forecast. Okay, so it would be a solid assumption, the last thing I say here, right, that the study would recommend that higher, that there's going to be higher fund balances going forward. But we don't have an updated study yet, right? Okay, that's important. So the numbers that we have are the best available. How much is comfortable? How much cash do we need? What is comfortable? Do we need to have $7.942 million in the asset reserve fund? Like I said before, that's more than all the cash that we had in November. What's the acceptable number, okay, asset reserve fund? If it's not $7.942 million, that's 100% of what the consultant said. Our board, this is going back to a question that was right back there, our board has set that number by policy at 60 to 70% of policy of the study recommended number. So that makes sense, right? You don't always have, the study's not gonna be 100% accurate. We've gotta spend this much money every year, right? It's not gonna be 100% accurate all the time. So if we have a balance of 60-70% of that, that is, it used to be 70, by the way. It used to be a flat out 70, right? Then we moved it to 60-70, okay? So maybe we need to move it to 30-40, I don't know. Okay, but I'm going with the 60-70, which is our board's policy, okay? And so at that, 65% of the comfort zone is $5.162 million.
When was that moved to 60-70?
I don't, does anyone know?
Yeah, I was on the Finance Budget Committee when that happened. And so I was on the Finance Budget Committee when that happened. It was a couple years ago. When it did happen, there was discussion, is that adequate, is it not adequate, and there was there were disagreements among people, but that's what happened. We went down to a window of 60 to 70 instead of 70. I was more comfortable keeping it at 70, but that perspective didn't prevail.
Yeah.
I was on the committee at the same time, and initially study was updated, it hadn't been done in question for a good number of years. There had not been a policy range. So the 60 to 70 was, the committee originally said 70%, the board said we'd like some flexibility, things changed, so we recommended the 60 to 70.
Yep.
Previous to that, there had not been a goal for the fund.
Perfect. So
Kurt, repeat
what just said that there was really not a 70% number. That was at one point discussed, and then when it actually got set as a target or a range, that was done after the fact. So maybe it was talked about at 70, but not ever actually set at 70.
The recommendation was 60 to 70,
yep.
And there had never been a goal from the board in terms of how for that fund previous to that. So that was,
I think there is a, I think that's written in policy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I've set my eyes on it, but it's just one of the things I looked at. But if we go with that 65% that I used at $5.62 million, and I've got it, you know, I'm showing that's compared to my adjustment, okay, but my adjusted value at 4.05 million. All the other funds are set, the capital fund is at zero in my analysis, right? And the contingency fund and the wash fund are staying stable. We have $3 million of cash to get us through year end.
Kurt?
Yeah.
If I understand what management says, if I understand correctly, the capital fund is being funded from the operating fund most of the year. And they're saying, well, we might be a little short in March and April and May, but that's okay because June, we're gonna have enough and we'll carry us for the next 6 or 7,
yeah,
or 8 months, and that's how they come up with the 1.125. Yeah. That's my understanding. You're correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, no, it's the only possible explanation. They're just deficit spending, okay? They're continuing to borrow more money in it through another account. I think, Deb, did you say that you saw the operating account was negative by some number?
Yeah.
In December, though, right?
Yeah.
186.
186.
Okay. So that operating account, you know, would have been negative at that point in time. So that's the problem. Okay, is I'm just trying to put a stake in the ground and say this is what I think is right. This is how we ought to run the show, right? Oh, yep. There's another question. I'm going to slow down the questions because I can get through the slideshow and I think we'll answer a lot of these. But go ahead.
Public financials on the Sun City website. Show a detailed schedule of the entries to the capital fund throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
So it's not transfers from the operating fund. There are capital contribution fee entries. There are entries from the Comcast agreement. There are entries from the AT&T agreement. So I'm not sure. I just wanted to have you clarify the answer to the gentleman's question of how is the capital fund being funded from a transfer?
So my analysis is...
I think it's important to be really clear.
Sure, but it's a level of detail that I'm going to tell you is not really critical, because it's not. Because what my numbers do is I take all the revenue, all the cash, and I take all the expenses, and I put money into the asset reserve fund, and then I take money out of the asset reserve fund, and it basically shows you a trend. And I include in my numbers the AT&T bill, the Comcast stuff, advertising revenues, all that stuff, okay? How our management team is doing it from an accrual accounting standpoint, I'm not going to speak to that. I haven't spent a lot of time verifying. I didn't do an audit, so I'm not verifying their accrual accounting, okay? But I'm just saying, this is all the cash that comes in, this is all the cash that comes out, here's where we put it, and does that work? Okay, and it can, and it just has implications, okay? All right, so I'm just trying to say here that if I say that the foundation that we're building our asset reserve fund is, I mean, if that's our foundation, we're short of the target number that we say at 65%, okay? Now, it could be a little less than that at 60 if we wanted to go.
Kurt, one quick second. Just before you go any farther, on that asset reserve, if you check with any professional company that does this for a living, they'll tell you absolutely if you go below 70%, you're putting yourself in the jeopardy of having to have
special assessments made.
Yeah. And people always talk about, we don't worry, our board and our management's always taking care of us. We've always had a good year, and they're right, but not now. We're lowering our standards constantly.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't accept 60 and 70 when you leave this room. Yeah. Please don't accept 60 yet.
And I'll tell you, so my numbers that you all have copies of, at the end of every year, I show near the bottom in the right-hand corner of each of the pages, with the detail month to month. We're at about 51%, and over the next 3 years, we never get closer than 57%, all right? So because we don't have the cash flow power, the way things work today without a special assessment, big increase to HOA fees, or other approaches to raise money, we just don't have that power built in right now. There's another shoe that's gonna drop, okay? We can get there, there's just another shoe, and we have to decide if that shoe is acceptable.
Okay, you estimate at 51%.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that it's not even that much, and the reason is because that pump for the golf course that cost $300,000, was it on asset reserve?
Yeah, I don't know where that came out of. I'm not tracking that, but that's straight. It's an unexpected expense that is not accounted for in my numbers, meaning my numbers somewhere are gonna be lower.
Okay.
Because that hasn't been paid for, it hasn't been contemplated. Okay.
And as you pointed out, the last time we had the study was in 21, and we had astronomical inflation since
right.
there.
Right.
And I'll use the example, as from what I understand, the swimming pool deck had to be replaced this year. Asset reserve was $44,000, and it cost, I believe, it was $20,000. So my concern is that it's even less than 51%.
Yeah, we just need to run it just like we all run our checkbooks, right? I mean, some of our checking account pays for stuff, and if we have a savings account, we try to just pay for those things that we're saving for, right? And so I think we just need to set up our structure that way. I want to keep answering questions, but I'm not going to finish. And so I'd like to just finish and see if I answer them, okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'll come back and I'll stay here as long as anyone wants. Oh, Lord. Okay. So in the forecast that I did, okay, so I'm just showing these are those fund balances, including the operating fund. My forecast provides for, I put $1.5 million into the asset reserve fund. I take $1.2 million out. What's left? 300. So if you look at the numbers, it goes from 4.0 to 4.3 to 4.6 to 4.9. So we can grow the asset reserve fund to 4.9, okay? That's still below that number that I was showing you a minute ago, 5.1. Okay, so we're not even getting close to that. And the asset reserve calc is going, the required balance is going up that whole time. But we can put money in there. I don't have any money going into the capital reserve fund the whole time, right? So I don't know where the money's coming from to fund that and how we're gonna do that, but in my numbers, there's no money in that account. Okay, we can move money from the contingency fund or the wash fund, I suppose, right? And pay for things that way, but those are, you know, if we're at that point, then we'll use contingency money, I suppose. The operating fund, while I started out, you can see right here, I started out at the end of November, so December 1, 3 million bucks. That was the start of that month, December. End of November, start of December, 3 million bucks. It takes almost all of that to get us through June. The next column, fiscal year end, June 2024, we got $194,000. The next year, in my numbers, we have 169, 171, 198. Those are the balances in the checking account at the end of the year. So what does that mean? It means we get there, right? We cover everything, right? With a little bit of money left over. That's not a lot, that's a little bit, but we have money left over, and we put some money into the asset reserve fund. We've spent $1.2 million on asset kind of stuff. I don't know what that's all gonna be, right? But I can tell you that, again, the cost of replacing assets and fixing assets has gone up tremendously, right? And I can tell you that it does not include anything that we got to do at Copper Center, including renovating Copper Center, right? I mean, if we're gonna take out all those rooms and the toilets and the showers and all that stuff, that's gonna be, again, I'm gonna say the word shit ton of money again. And it's not in these numbers, okay? I don't know where it's gonna come from, okay? Okay, so that's just a view, and I'll share this slideshow with everybody later.
The person who just said that they thought that the funding level at 51, which is what Kurt calculated, is actually too high and it's probably lower. I happen to agree with that. Kurt mentioned the inflation that we've had over the past number of years. I think the $8 million figure is just grossly low. And when they do the next study, that $8 million will go way up. And the pool debt was one example. But just recently, the Aquatic Fitness Center Committee, and I'm a member of that, we looked at buying new pool furniture. It's dated, it's worn, we need it. And we went out to bid, we looked at it for both Desert Oasis and for Mountain View. And if you've ever gone out to buy patio furniture, you know it's expensive. So it came in at around $50,000 to replace everything at both facilities. In the asset reserve fund, that amount was pegged at $18,000. And there was a board liaison at the time, at that meeting, and he said, gee, I don't recommend you come before the board asking for $50,000. Money is tight.
All right then. One thing I just wanted to suggest is, you know, there's, in terms of reporting, one of my recommendations is that we change our reporting that we get and that we get to look at. I think we ought to have a report that looks like this, and maybe it's quarterly or maybe it's monthly. We should have an idea of what our balances are going to be. This would be, you know, in the business lingo, a key performance indicator, right? KPIs, you guys have heard about it, I bet. Okay, so, but this might be one of those.
I know you were going to cash basis, but yeah. It shows no money in the capital fund. So I know houses are being sold. Are being sold, and there is money going in there. Now it's going back out.
Right.
But you show zero there. I don't understand that.
Yep. No, that's a good question. So you understand how the money flows. I take back those capital monies. I just put it in I just run it through the numbers, and I put $1.5 million into the asset reserve fund. I didn't take the time to say, oh, okay, if it's coming from, so what he's talking about is when you buy your home new, I did this 2 years ago, some friends did it more recently, right? But you have to pay $3,500 to somebody, you're like, what? I didn't count, what is that, right? That's what I remembered, right? Okay, so $3,500. So that is designated to go into the capital fund, okay? I didn't worry about trying to put it into the capital reserve. I didn't provide for it, okay? I provided for it, I did all my provision, if you want to think about it that way, just in the asset reserve fund, okay? Just to see if that would work. And so, in that example, it's in that number.
It's zero on the balance
sheet. Huh?
It's zero, the capital fund remains zero. What is being calculated is how much we're reducing, what's on the average.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So if that's, if it's at zero already, that's great. Okay, so that.
Did you all hear that?
No. The balance sheet shows it at zero.
The balance sheet, which balance sheet? The one from Randy and the tipster, or what?
The balance sheet that we use all the time to go get, at least I do. But the capital fund is in it, is in a deficit.
Month to month is zero.
But we haven't gotten above zero. It's break even, so it's.
It's going to take years to get above, to get to zero.
Are just a calculation.
Okay.
The actual, for an accounting purpose, is zero. Because we have no excess funds in the matter, for at least 5 to 6 years.
Did you all hear that? We have no excess funds in the capital fund for 5 to 6 years, best guess.
So in my forecast, these are just some of the assumptions I used. For the rest of this year, I didn't assume any spending from any asset reserve capital fund. Over the 3-year forecast after the first six, the 7-month forecast to get to June of this year, I increased HOA fees 4% per year. That's $100 increase per residence each year. I increased wages and benefits 4% per year, every year, each year, 4%, another 4%. And I contributed $1.5 million to the asset reserve, and $2.2 million was spent, okay? And I just assumed that there was really no other spending other than kind of through that one account. What are the sources of revenues? These are sources of revenues, okay? And so I counted them all. I'm pretty sure I got them all. About $6 million in HOA dues. I said fees. Golf revenue, that includes prepaid golf membership, that includes daily, that includes the golf shop sales. Restaurant, capital contribution, that's the amount that we get from every house sold. It's about 170 homes selling a year, $3,500, that's about $600,000. Okay, and so obviously I made the pictures kind of trying to size what's the bigger amount and all that, right? So everything else is about $900,000. Expenses. Wages are $5.6 million, utilities 1.7, supplies and expenses, no idea what that is, $1.8 million, cost of goods sold 1.2, everything else $200,000. Okay, and so then I run it through this model like this, and I'm trying to come up with what are those numbers, right? Where are we at from an inflow outflow standpoint? So you can see I've got that we get our HOA dues in the second column. You can see that the HOA dues are about $6 million. We get from the sale of homes about $600,000. Prepaid golf revenue is $1.1 million. Golf shop and daily golf and all that stuff are in that other revenue number, $4.1 million. I pushed all of the annual cash flow outflows, the expenses, into one line item, $10 million, a little bit more than $10 million a year. So you can see the net inflows and outflows. I added $1.5 million in the asset reserve, and you can see that the operating cash fund at the end of the year is those numbers that I talked about before. It gets reduced substantially. So I think we have a cash shortfall of $1.5 million about right now. That's a cash shortfall. I think that amount of money is required just to get the asset reserve fund up to the number that it should be at. If we contributed $1.5 million each year, SCOV will have enough cash flow to meet $1.2 million and spend, regardless of if it's coming out of the capital account or the asset. I mean, I just lumped it all into one. But we can cover that, but nothing more. Unless we decide to defer maintenance, and we have to hope that there's no other unexpected capital expenditures like that. Water pump was one example. Yeah.
What happens if the board does decide to go forward with renovations on copper, assuming the vote is to retain it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure where that money's coming from. Okay, so that's unclear to me because I don't think it exists unless we're not spending money elsewhere, and so on any of our other property. That's kind of my analysis. Yeah, so I guess I'm in the second point there. I don't think we have enough money to replace or grow the capital fund. I don't think that, I think the alternatives are things like sell the Copper Center while it's still configured as a medical facility. That's one alternative, right? I give some data points there around why that. We could also choose to raise money. So I think that there are other shoes to drop and raise money, HOA dues, maybe we have to increase 10% a year, or a special assessment, $2,000 to $3,000, or, and I believe in paying my credit card balances off at the end of the month, and so I think we need to think about that kind of stuff. Or we rent out the Copper Center to the clubs that want to use them, right? Maybe they just need to pay rent for it, right? I mean, why do we all have to provide a new space for those people that are in those clubs that are going to benefit from that? And there's a number of clubs that benefit from it, right? But I don't get to store my golf bag anywhere. And the bicycle riding club, I don't think gets to store their bicycles there instead of their garage. So I'm not sure that I understand why we wouldn't potentially consider leasing it there, or we rent it out to some other tenant that is a medical-based kind of company that maybe wants to use that space for rehab or other things, right? But we control it because we're the landlord. Other ones, increase the CC fees. That's on every home that gets sold. If we're selling, I think I've assumed 170 per year that gets sold. I think we're well behind that number this year. You know, there's an expectation that we can sell as many as 10% or 244. 10% would be about 244 homes per year. But maybe we want to increase that fee from $3,500 to some higher number. We might need to think about cost cutting, wage freezes, headcount reduction, reduce service levels, right? I don't think any of us want to do any of that. But so my recommendation is sell the Copper Center. I think we got out over our skis on that. I think we paid more for something than what we should have. I think we drained some of our funds, and I think we should be focused on replenishing our funds. That would go a long way to do that. My recommendation to the board to recommend to management is to use separate accounts for our funds so we stop commingling money, order new asset reserve study now, report fund balances as a key performance indicator, show some kind of a cash flow report, one-page format, simple to look at, and reduce the amount of money that can be spent without board approval and member votes. I think we should be have more control.
Thank you.
I thought for a while.
You got to hold it up.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it might be a great idea to rent out some of the extra space to a medical center or medical facility that would, you know, serve our medical needs perhaps as a rental thing. And people think, well, how does that affect our nonprofit status? Is that an issue for a nonprofit to rent out space like that? I have no idea. Do you?
I do not. No, that's a really good question. There might be.
We'd have to pay taxes on the profits because we're a nonprofit organization, but we can legally rent that out.
Okay, so we can legally rent that out. We'd have to pay taxes on that income.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The one I almost lost my copy on the ceiling reading that email from the board was that they have a vote coming up to borrow money from the future, borrow from the HOA dues and the old houses, borrowing against the future. How do you address that, Kurt? My copies are just here.
Well, we'll get a cleanup crew over there right away. How do I address that? That's another alternative. I didn't go there, right? I think that.
But isn't it irresponsible?
Yes. All right, I mean, so what it says is, here's what it says, is that we don't have the cash. It's just another indicator that we don't actually have the cash that we need, right? So it's part of the other shoe that is we're waiting to fall. Yes, sir.
I don't have a microphone.
Yeah, I can hear you.
As loud as I can. In the spirit of transparency, we met yesterday, and Jim Cherry held up a report that showed we're fine.
Yep.
Are you looking at the same information he is? He reported yesterday that they paid off $900,000 of the money from the Commerce Center.
Yep, how much should we spend? We might have paid but then what are we?
If you do factor the $900,000 into your figures, the other thing I want to say is this. you say let's vote to sell the Copper Center. You really think we'll get the net worth of the Copper Center when the report gets on the street that we have to sell that? We're gonna lose money on it just because
We might lose money, okay, that's very possible, but that might be, it's a sunk cost, right? The money's already gone, we paid for it, and maybe we want to get as much back as we can, and so maybe we don't get all of it back, but that's, the idea that we don't get all of our money back, you're dealing with sunk cost.
In the spirit of transparency, it'd be nice to have Cherokee and Mr. Siegel stand up with Mr. Cherokee and go through the reports together and see why they're different and why he says it's okay,
yep.
And you say it's
wrong. Yeah. I sat down with Jim Cherry and I walked through, and we talked about some of this stuff, and he gave me his analysis for the last year, kind of a 1 year look back, right? And kind of that's where I was able to, that and some of the forecasting stuff that is in the study, I pulled numbers like that. Jim has a different view than I do. Jim says, he told me, he said, I'm comfortable with $4.4 million total cash at the end of this year. I'm comfortable with that. I just don't know why he's comfortable with that. I'm telling you why I'm not. And that's all. Okay. So I don't know if I can reconcile, and I'm happy to talk to Jim. Jim's a nice guy. He's got opinions, and I got no problem talking to him about his opinion.
It would be nice to compare apples to apples, side by side, what you're saying, and why he thinks it's okay, and you don't.
I have no problem with that. Right? I have no problem with that. From a transparency standpoint, I would love to share with you. I mean, we paid $4.6 million for the Copper Center, right, as a medical facility. The appraisal said $4.6 million, highest, best use medical center. Okay? Not what we're going to use it for, office and meeting space. That there was a recent sale of an office building in Tucson, 70,000 square feet. Okay, our deal is 20,000. They paid $3.5 million. Now it's not 100% comparable. Okay, I'm not gonna say it's 100% comparable, but it's a big difference.
Is it in the square foot of where we can use it?
No, it's not in our space. Right. I mean, but why would we pay that much money for some space for some people?
Okay.
We all are paying for it.
Kurt, over here, Kurt.
Yeah.
One question I have, and I'm new to the
closer to your mouth, please.
Okay. The question I have is the $4.6 million we paid for Copper Center or whatever it is through this whole budget scenario upside down. Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
The purchase of Copper Center through the counting up there upside down because you went 1.9 negative, you took
that's
money
my,
you didn't have.
That is my view, yes.
Okay,
that's
thank
my
you.
Analysis.
Hi there. I just have a question for the two board candidates. Is it your recommendation that if the vote goes one way or the other, meaning that it's a vote to sell, is your recommendation to sell that property? I am one of those undecided voters because we have three vacant slots coming open with the resignation of Elaine. So I find this to be a point for me of importance.
Mm-hmm. So in my conversations with residents, I haven't tried to tell people how to vote. I just want people to understand the financial implication of retaining Copper, which is what Kurt was addressing. And if the vote is to sell it, then yes, I think it's incumbent to go out and get the best price we can. Like Kurt said, the money we spent is already spent, it's sunk. And it would, the money we get if we were to sell it replenishes this cash insufficiency that we have, this underfunding of our important asset reserve fund. But by the way, I will tell you that what other considerations are in my mind when we talk about selling copper are the other things that people have expressed a strong desire to do in our community. I'm talking about expanding existing amenities and getting new amenities. In the survey that was conducted by the Long Range Planning Committee about 10 months ago, and it's posted, the summary is posted on our website. The number one desired amenity that our residents wanted, and there were about 1,800 people responding to this survey, was a new exercise pool. The second was a refurbishment of the outdated pool at Desert Oasis, making it into a more modern pool called the resort style pool. That was number two. Number three were dedicated walking paths. And then number four was the Artisan Center, expanding the area for the Artisan Center. And so I think in terms of when we should we sell copper or not, well, the question I have is, this is what people want, as expressed in the survey. If we go forward with copper and spend money on its renovation, there won't be any money for that. There won't be any money for pickleball, for these other things that people have expressed strong desires for. Instead, by default, our money will be going to copper.
For how many years?
For many years. For many years. And, by the way, as Kurt explained, all of these things, a new exercise pool, new pickleball courts, the money has to come out of our capital fund. And as Kurt explained, it's already at negative 1.9. And so if we were to go forward with renovations or these other amenities, we either go further negative, borrowing more from our asset reserve, or we have to do the other things like an assessment or significantly raising dues. But if we were to sell copper, then our cash goes back to what it was, and we do have money for these other things. That's my perspective.
And I agree with that. What we have to remember is that copper is not just 4.5. It's also another 2 to 3 million to renovate it. And when I was at the Finance and Budget Committee, I asked, where's the 600,000 that you want to put into it within the next year? And it's in a budget line item, but I said, I want to see it. I want to see the cash flow. I want to see where it is. It's nowhere. They said they couldn't show me where it is. So that makes me concerned. And then last week at our meeting, Rhonda Henning was here, and she said, well, it's going to be over 10 years. So the question that I have to the owners in our community is, do we want to commit? We did commit once already, but we have a chance to rethink it. I call it a pivot. Deb gave me that number. We could pivot. But do we want to commit for 10-ish years and 5 to 6-ish years to get the capital fund up to do anything else? Or do we want to, sell the Copper Center? So my feeling is that there are other things that people want. That's a long time to wait. I don't see the money. I'm very worried. I do not want to put us in more of a deficit kind of place. And I do not love assessments or great dues increases. That is not something I feel great about. So I'm kind of like David. Okay, so I think it's maybe leaning on that back. The lights are going down. If you could be helps with that too.
Got something.
Question,
as I have
Alan.
As I have a spouse on the board, I do know that it's a very stressful position. And so my question to both of you is, if the vote is to keep Copper Center, and you both are elected, it's going to be stressful. And are you prepared for that? And do you have some plans for how we're going to fix that.
Great question.
Sorry, no worries.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Look at it, don't worry. The lights are a little crazy, sorry.
Just a thought or
you know, if the goal to sell copper fails, then in my mind, the issue is over in terms of do we keep it or not. I mean, we own it and we go forward with copper. But what I would suggest the board needs to do is really do a review of, again, copper versus all of these other things that people want to do, and then order it. What is the logical way to proceed so that we can accommodate everything? And it may be leasing out copper. You know, I keep hearing the phrase, it's an investment for the future. Okay, I don't know, that doesn't really get into the substance, it's just something that people, I guess, find attractive. And so if we have to keep it, yeah, okay, let's keep it for the future. And I like the idea of a long-term lease for a medical facility because it's already fit up for that. It'll bring in income. Yeah, we might have to pay some taxes on it. And then down the line, if we do need the space, then we have it and we can renovate it then. That's what I would suggest. But you know, the question occurred to me, we need to get a 60% vote in order to sell. We only needed a 50% vote to buy, but we need a 60% vote to sell. Yeah, go figure that. So the question I have is, what about if we get to 59%? 59% of our community wants to sell it. We have to keep it. That's a real conundrum. That's a problem.
So thanks. I agree with David that we can't keep revoting and revoting. We have a decision has been made. I worry about that number also. But then we have to get creative and we're going to come to you and ask for your ideas. At least I will, because I want to represent you. I can't, my opinion matters less than your opinion.
Okay, here and then there and over there. I'm not concerned about ideas on where to spend the money, but we don't have the money. So as you two running for board, would you choose to raise HOA fees and, because I don't think raising those are going to bring in enough by what I saw, and or the sale, that $3,500 we kick in every time we sell a house. How do you think we're going to get the money?
If we keep it?
Yes.
Well, I think one of the ways is to look at possibly leasing it. I think that's what he's saying. And I'm saying instead of trying to raise another 2 to 4 million to renovate it when we don't have it, maybe you have to wait over time to raise that money before you make big changes there. That would be one option. But did you want to continue?
Well, I think that you're right. If we end up keeping it, even if we lease it, we still have to figure out how to replenish our capital fund, because leasing it is going to bring in a whole bunch of cash right away. And we have to figure out also how to get our asset reserve fund back up to an acceptable level. And frankly, I don't see any way around having to raise dues or having a special assessment or cutting back on other things. All three of those things are just things that nobody wants. I don't want that. But I guess I ask, how can you avoid it?
The only way is if it gets sold. Who did I say was next?
We've lived here 22 years and been through 4 assessments, a lot of remodels. Our home's gone up $300,000 in value. It's been a great investment in the great community.
I concur. Who did I say was next? You, Jim? In all of this, please know, we love this community. It's for love that we're doing this. We appreciate you for being involved. Awesome turnout.
Yes, I have 3 points. One, I think the lady that said her coffee was on the wolf's left. But to address her, what she saw was votes by the board where they asked, the board asked the administration to update their bylaws and document all the documents to reflect the state law. So it was not that the board was asking for a loan or anything. They simply updated their documents to reflect the current state laws. Okay?
That's not true.
I disagree with that. There's nothing that requires us to allow us to seek a loan and pledge our income. I agree. I mean, we're not forced to take a loan. If we do take a loan, then our bylaws have to be updated to reflect the state law, and that's all they do.
If we take a loan, yes,
if
I agree with
loan.
That.
Yes. Okay. The second point I'd like to point out is the end of year operating fund. And in fact, we are a nonprofit. The budget said that this year our net increase in income would be $6,000. So I'm surprised that the number is actually as high as it is. And in fact, it should be almost down to zero every year because we are a nonprofit that don't make money.
My number where it's just above 200,000, that's not profit, that's just cash. That's not net income.
I understand what you're saying, but if you look at our expenses and our revenue, almost everything except for depreciation is cash. So,
right.
The fact that...
No, revenues are accrual. Monthly revenues are...
They're accrual per month, but for the year, they are not accrual.
Right.
Okay? So on a yearly basis, the operating fund will go to zero.
You know, if you go to zero, do you really want your checkbook to go to zero?
I'm not saying the checkbook.
Well, that's what we're saying.
No. Okay.
The
no,
ending
you're
balance.
Not saying that. The operating fund is going to zero, and that's what I...
So I could have, I suppose I could have shoved a couple $100,000 into the capital reserve fund that I kept at zero, and that would be a way to fix what you're talking about, and then we would have $200,000 instead of zero every year.
Okay.
All right,
The third point I'd like to bring up, and why the difference, why this panel here says that, Jim Cherry said that we are good, while you guys are saying we're not good. The difference is that Jim Cherry and the administration does not separate cash. The cash is at an enterprise level. And at the end of last year, it was $4.3 million in May. And I always say May because May is our highest balance of cash for the year. At the end of May of this year, it will probably be close to $5 million. Okay? So, and in end of June, it will be up to $10 million. So the real question is that $5 million at the end of May enough to offset the asset reserve? It's going to be less than the asset reserve. But the issue, so the question is, we spend about $1 million a year on the asset reserve. So having $5 million, is that enough to cover the asset reserve? Granted, it's less than 60%, but we're not in danger of anything.
Well, no, that's true. Until 5 years from now, when that balance, because we take that approach, is at zero, right? Well, I mean, if you're saying we can have a $4 or $5 million cash balance at the end of the year, and that's enough, I don't know what the basis of that is, other than a gut feeling. Because you're saying, okay, well, it's enough, and we can spend $1 million next year, and then have you down to four, and the next year we can be down to three if we spend $1 million, and so on, right? I mean, you got to replace it.
No. No, I took your spreadsheet and I replaced that top number of what you call, operating cash.
Yeah.
And I put the real cash. And so the end of the number at the end of the year was May was $5 million, and it grows to each year by about potentially a $500,000.
Well, putting the full cash balance at the top is not how you can use that spreadsheet, just so you know. No, it's not.
That's what I'm saying is the difference.
No, it's not. Here's why it's not. Because in mine, I have cash at the top line, the operating cash, and then if you go to the fund balances, and you add the fund balances up, plus the cash at the top, that's our actual cash in that month. Those are what add up.
Different question. Come on.
More of a statement than I do have a question for. I have a question for Kurt at the end of this, but what no one's mentioned is the value of cash. This month alone, having our $4.5 million in the seller's pocket reduces our income, revenue income, by $225,000 per year. Okay, so if you have $4.5 million in your checking account, it would earn you $225,000 at 5%. I agree the other option is to lease it, but to try and get a profit, even triple net lease, above 5% is going to be very difficult. Our best option is to sell that thing, get the money back, and start over. And And you have a chance to do that next month. Please tell your friends on this initiative on the ballot. If you vote yes, you'll be part of that 60% that approves the sale of Copper Health.
There's three or four companies bidding on that. You're a buyer. We want to sell it. It won't be an issue.
There's also space in that shopping center there that could be rented if people need space.
I do have a question again for the two candidates. If it does come to the fact that we get the opportunity to sell Copper Health or Copper Center, do we have the right to approve who our neighbors will be? I come from a background of an ER nurse, and so I have safety concerns.
Oh, no. Certificate of need would have to be filed.
Well, I happen to believe that that facility, as it currently is fit out, poses no risk to us. We're not going to have people hanging around outside, shooting drugs. I mean, we're not in an urban area. We're not in a city. This would people there with their issues are spending money to be there. So I happen to think it's just not an issue, and you have to be careful about discrimination when you're putting something out for sale. So I would say no.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Me too. And I do know that there were already people there who had drug issues and things, and we lived with it just fine.
My name is Julie Abston. I'm on a platform and everyone introducing themselves so I can find out who's who. Full disclosure, I'm a 30-year real estate broker. I've sold thousands and thousands of properties. There were offers on the Copper Center when we bought it. Oh, all right. There were offers on the Copper Center when we bought it. There will always be offers. We can put it on the market. All we have to say is it's not a fire sale, if you hear that amongst us, because it's not. It does not fit in our portfolio. There will be offers. It was a medical facility in the past. and there were not any neighborhood issues. So I think that's a scare tactic.
Yes.
My last comment is, thank you. My last comment is, we have no experience or expertise in being management for any property, and I think it's not a good direction to go to rent out Copper Center, in my opinion. Thank you. Please vote to sell the Copper Center.
And if you could, from now on, I'm a slow learner. Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Kristen Ford. I just wanted to ask a question. I was at a meet and greet coffee for Todd Milton the other day, a couple days ago, and he said, and I quote, "Kurt the banker wants to fund the asset reserve at 100%. I thought that wasn't true, but I think we need to hear what the truth actually is. And I know you're not running, but.
I'm thinking 200%. No. No, I think my view is, I'm just trying to, I think 60-70% is a fine range. Okay, I got no problem with that. 65% is what the assumptions are in that study every year, right? We're kind of in the 60-70. I'm not looking to fund 100%. I don't think we need to be there. I think I'm just trying to base my conclusion on some fact from some expert who is the study, and it's very normal to be at some percentage of that. And I'm just trying to say we've said 60-70%. Our board has said that, right? I don't think we're there. And so no, I do not want to fund it at 100%.
Helen Gall, I have a question. I have a question on the terms of the vote to buy and then to sell. Who came up with the 50% to buy, 60 to sell? That sounds really bogus, and I don't see how it can stay.
It's in our policies. It's in our policies.
I believe it's the
Bible. Though some people have different opinions about that.
Hello? I believe it's in our bylaw.
About selling
an asset that we have to reach 60%, so I don't think that could be changed except by a bylaw change.
Yeah, I'll speak to that just now. This is Donna Harding. I asked that question. We had a question and answer website before we voted to buy the center. Tim Kelly was running the website. You could ask a question. Maybe some of you did, and it was put on the website with the answer. My two questions were not put on the website. He did answer me privately. My first question was exactly that. Why aren't we using 60%? And it's different. Our ballot was 50%. Just a simple majority, that with a 600 quorum, that means 301 people could have decided this whole deal. They chose to use that 50% simple majority. We have two other policies in our books. One says something, I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but it's 60%, like David was talking about, annexation of real property. I think, isn't that real property? Our community was annexing real property. That takes a 60% vote of the total community, not just the voters. We would have fallen short by a lot on that kind of a vote. The other one, he said his answer to me, and he wouldn't put it on the website, his answer to me was, it was already in our footprint when we started our community. Okay, well, whatever, but the building wasn't. Building is annexing real property, right? Isn't a building real property? Okay, so he wouldn't put that out there. The second question I asked him was, then why don't we use the other one? And it's another one, like 60% or maybe 66%, if you're gonna raise dues. Well, we weren't gonna raise dues exactly to buy that property, but look what's happening now. Now, I mean, because we borrowed from this fund to that fund, and they have admitted that. Rana said they put in an IOU and we have to pay it back. we put in an IOU and we have to pay it back, that would have been even more. And he said, because we weren't raising dues, it didn't need to be that 60-some percent. And we're talking a lot of difference between 60% of the total membership of our community or a simple majority of 50% of the voters. Right. Yep. That is a major difference. And one more thing, if you're not tired of me, you've heard me talk about the asset reserve schedule at all the meetings. We have some major things coming up here. The roof of all our buildings, the windows of all our buildings, that's not being addressed. And this was a $4.5 million remodel with an old roof, and it's all new underneath. Thank you.
But by the way, my recollection is that the vote was over 60% to buy it. So even if it had been 60, I think it would have passed. That's my recollection of that.
The other thing
that came to mind listening to you was I have heard that people are going around saying, well, we're not going to spend $1.2 million on our asset reserve this year. It's only going to be something like $850,000. And that may be true. Maybe we're going to hold off doing some of the things. Again, you can't predict exactly when something will need to be replaced. But keep in mind, if we don't spend $1.2 million, which is what our average has been over the years, if we spend less this year, it just means we're going to spend more in later years. We're just deferring what replacements we have on the schedule.
So my name is Jean Zanaro, and I just want to make a clarification. There is an initiative on the board, on the ballot, that they want to change our bylaws to say that we're going to give them permission to borrow money against our future HOA fees. So that is a change to our bylaws. And as Dennis Legere says to us, your vote is no, because that gives them the right to go and get loans whenever they want. Another thing is, I'd like to just say thank you to Kurt Cherokee and David. I think what you presented here today, you know, understanding cash flow and your checkbooks, you know, if you got money in your checking account and you can afford to pay for it, then you should do it. If not, you have to look at another way. And do we want to be paying for the next 10 years and not use our facilities and get the things that we want? So vote yes to sell. Anybody else wrapping up? I'm not going to go there, Alan. I was going to ask Alan. There seems to be some discussion about that. What did you just ask, that loan provision? And I asked Alan, and I don't have enough time to understand, but I'm going to guess we'll be talked about at the forum on the 7th, Alan?
Yeah, we'll be talking about all the ballot initiatives.
Okay, and what I think I heard him say is they could do something like this already. This is a cleaning up of language, but I'm going to leave it to them to tell us, I don't know that, you know, we should be super upset about that, but we should investigate that before we decide. Well, maybe, David, you're standing, you have a point.
No, I just want to say, I agree, we're going to be talking about it at the forum. I just want to thank Kurt for the hard work that he did. This is what I call transparency. This is what I call getting information out, and there's no problem having a dialogue about it. And thank you for having the interest in our finances to come.
Yes, I totally agree, and thank you, Deb Olson, for helping to start this with David a couple of weeks ago. Thank you to her.
Thank you.
And I do hope that we can encourage the board and the administration to
put forth our finances in a way that is more clear to people, because this lack of clarity is causing division and discord in our community. So we need to get that straight. So thank you all. And Janet has something to say.
How many people here remember when the ballot used to go out before the actual ballot that you could...
All right, thanks everybody.
I know how to stop it.